So our study on the first angel's message continues in regards to the hour of God's judgment, that in the judgment there is something that is being examined, and that is the books of heaven. And that's what our title for our study is, the books of heaven. In our study that we had last week, the hour of God's judgment, the announcement of the angel, fear God and give him the glory, we appreciate that we have studied all the way through this angel's message the everlasting gospel, and that which is connected with the everlasting gospel is the apprenticeship, that through the gospel we are entering into an apprenticeship with Christ, and that apprenticeship is the process of having our characters changed into the character of Jesus. And we just recall a bit of this, because this is important, the scriptures that pertain to this work, how it connects with the books of heaven. For instance, here in Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, reading verses 21 through to 24. Ephesians 4, 21 to 24. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversations the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So as we've studied the gospel, we have heard of him, we have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. The consequential activity is addressed here, that we go ahead and make the change, put away the old man with all his deceitful lusts. Be renewed where? In the spirit of your mind. That's where the new man, as we've been studying in the past, is to be created in our mind, a new mind, new heart. And there, that new man is, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. This connects with Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. These words are very important when we look at the books in a moment. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So you notice then that the gospel of Jesus Christ and the apprenticeship to Christ is the creation of God. He has taken the sinner, and through the activity of the gospel of the atonement, he is working on the sinner who submits himself to Jesus and recreates him. It's God's work. And And Isaiah 43 was what we read last week. Isaiah 43, verse 6 and 7. Isaiah 43, verses 6 and 7. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Created in Christ Jesus for his glory. And so, as the everlasting gospel is preached by the first angel, he then announces, give God the glory. In other words, let God's creation inside of you come to its fruition. Give him the glory. So, as we have become so enlightened and affected with these studies of the gospel and its impact and our participation in the apprenticeship, there is a clear directive that I must do my part for this to happen. And that's why it says, give him the glory. Here in Colossians 1:29, it's the preaching of the first angel to affect those people who have been under the everlasting gospel, who have heard of him and have been instructed by him in the truth. Here, now in Colossians 1, verse 29, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. God is creating in me. He is working in me. I am his workmanship. What am I to do? I labor, striving according to his working. As he said in the other statement, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you. Working together with God, I labor, strive according to his working within me. That is why the message is, give God the glory. We also read 2 Peter 1 verse 10. Don't just wait for some magic to happen. Work together with him as he creates. 2 Peter 1, verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. So here is the call of my participation. The people who don't participate are not giving God the glory. So give him the glory during the time of the hour of his judgment. And this is beautifully summarized in this statement of Bible Commentary, Volume 7, that really leaves us without any lack of understanding. In Bible Commentary, Volume 7, page 979. Here it is in a beautiful succinct statement. It says, to give glory to God is to reveal his character in our own and thus make him known. And in whatever way we make known the Father or the Son, we glorify God. A short little statement. To give glory to God means to reveal His character in our own character is to reveal God's character, and in that way make Him known. So whatever way we make known the Father or the Son, we glorify God. Very beautiful summary of the text that we've been reading. So the glory, the character of God has been maligned by Lucifer, and therefore it is incumbent upon us to release God from the malign of Satan. We can give God the glory. And Desire of Ages, page 761, helps us to understand that the attack of that Satan made upon God's character, that it is our privilege to glorify Him now in this period of the judgment, where God is being judged because Lucifer had put such a terrible twist on God's character. Here on page 761, paragraph 4, it says, in the opening of the great controversy, Satan had declared that the law of God could not be obeyed, that justice was inconsistent with mercy, and that should the law be broken, it would be impossible for the sinner to be pardoned. Every sin must meet its punishment, urged Satan. And if God should remit the punishment of sin, He would not be a God of truth and justice. That's what Lucifer declared. When men broke the law of God and defied His will, Satan exulted. It was proved, he declared, that the law could not be obeyed. Man could not be forgiven, because he, after his rebellion, had been banished from heaven. Satan claimed that the human race must be forever shut out from God's favor. God could not be just, he urged, and yet show mercy to the sinner. It is this maligning of God's character that it is our privilege to correct. That it is possible for God to be just and yet to justify the sinner. This is our privilege to give Him the glory. Remember what His character is, what His glory is. When Moses said, show me thy glory, there it was in Exodus 34. And what was God's glory? The very thing that Lucifer said there is not, he can't be like that. That he is like this. Exodus 34, and we are to demonstrate it. Exodus 34, verse 6 and 7. The Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, unto the third and fourth generation. So Lucifer said he can't be a just God if he's going to forgive people. But his character is of such a nature that he can be merciful, gracious, abundant, having mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. Three kinds of sinfulness. Iniquity means lawlessness. Transgression means transgressing the law. And sin covers that and everything else. So God can forgive the lot and yet be just. That is what is our work to demonstrate. The judgment must reveal this. God's glory is under scrutiny. It's how he deals with the sin and with sinners is what must be demonstrated, to be contrary to what Lucifer said. We read it again there in Psalm 51 that we read it last week. Psalm 51, how King David had sinned so badly, and now he prays like this, so that when he is being judged, when God is being judged, he would be justified because of what David has done in repentance. Psalm 51, reading there verse 3 and 4. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. So when God judges, when God speaks, when God draws his conclusions, King David said, I am confessing my sin to you so that when you judge, you're going to be clear. In the scrutiny that's placed upon you, God, what I do with my sin now, you will be justified. You will be cleared as you will judge. That is the issue that is involved here. And so in this judgment of the first angel's message, God is going to be cleared by the way he deals with our sins. And we are to give him the glory. So, have a look. To do this work, God actually has records. God has the record of all of our activities. He has kept the records. He is a very thorough lawyer, as it were. Everything has been kept. Here it's written of in Daniel chapter 7, verses 9 to 10, in this judgment. Daniel chapter 7. As the judgment is set, what happens here? Is it just God speaking, or what is it? Daniel 7, verses 9 and 10. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. The books were opened. So there are all the myriads of witnesses, angels, and the judgment is set, and the books, plural, are opened. So remember, God needs to be cleared by the way he deals with sinners. So, God has kept records, and he spends time to examine with all the witnesses there the dealings of God in every individual's life. And as these angels, these thousands upon thousands upon thousands of angels, are watching the examination of the books, notice what they exclaim. Come to Revelation 5. Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 to 13. Revelation 5, verses 11 to 13. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, just like Daniel said, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. This is what the angels are doing. They are recognizing, as the books are being examined, that he is worthy. They give glory to God because he has spent time with them in examining the books. And that's how they explain things. Satan's attack upon the character of God is totally clear. They burst out and worship because God is so just. So, what are the books and what do they reveal so that the angels are so exuberant? Well, let's come over to Psalms 87. And we read something very interesting here regarding the book of records. That's one of the books that is opened. Psalm 87, verses 3 to 6. Psalm 87, verses 3 through to 6. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This man was born there. And of Zion it shall be said, This and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there. You notice that God shall count when he writeth up the people. According to what we've read here, that there is a writing of where the people are born in heaven. Do you notice that there are people born, it says here in verse 4, I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. "Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This man was born there." But, verse 5, "And of Zion," what's that? That's the God's church, the city of God. "Of Zion, it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people, that this man was born there." So God has a birth register. God has a birth register. Birth registers of people that were born outside of the church, and a register of those that are born inside the church. Now, who are those that are born in the church that are recorded there in that book, the book of record? If we turn over to John chapter 3, verses 5 to 7. John 3, 5 to 7. "Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Zion, the city of God, you must enter there to be born, to enter there you must be born there. And so, that's what Jesus is saying. "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." To be registered in the birth of Zion, birth book of Zion, we need to be born again. Otherwise, we are just born in Babylon, in Ethiopia, in Australia, and so on. That's the birth register of those who are not born in born again. But there is a birth register of those that are born in Zion. And these are the ones. If we turn also to chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. John chapter 12, chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. Here it is. Who are they? "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So as we were reading in Psalm 87, that there were people who were born of the flesh, they are in verse 4. I will make mention of Rahab, and that is Egypt in the margin, and Babylon. See, Egypt was a place of birth of sin, where the people were captivity to sin. Rahab, sin, Egypt, Babylon. "To them that know me, behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia." This man was born there. They were born according to the flesh. But those that were born in the city of Zion are those that are born of God. And we turn to Luke chapter 10, verse 20. Luke chapter 10, verse 20. Here it is neatly expressed by Jesus himself. "Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." God shall count in the register of the heavenly Zion those whose names are born there. That's one of the books. Born into Zion. There it is. It's called in Revelation 20, verse 12, the Book of Life. People who've been born again. Revelation 20, verse 12. It's actually expressed there. That book is there. Revelation 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. This is another occasion where the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So very clearly, that registry of people who have been not born of the flesh, but born of God, there it is. It's a registry of the book of life. But there are other books, as it said, plural. You've got the book of registration of birth, and then in Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. So there's a book of registration of birth, and there's a book of remembrance. So everything that people are doing in speaking and communing together in their love for God, that is chronicled in a book called the Book of Remembrance. If we turn to Psalm 56, verse 8, we see that again reiterated there. Psalm 56 and verse 8. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? God has a book of remembrance, a book that tells of our wanderings, our tears, our sufferings together with Jesus. And then we remember how that it says there is a book according to our works, which we just touched on in Revelation. They will be judged according to their works. So there is a book of remembrance of those who've loved and fear God. But if we look also into some detail here in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10, when it comes to the works, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So there is a book of the things which we have done, a book of works, because we're going to be judged according to our works. And that book of works is written for the purpose so that we can be judged according to our works. God has chronicled everything. Nothing is left out. In Romans chapter 2, verses 6 to 10. Romans 2, 6 to 10. There it is. God, when he judges, is going to be clear. He's going to be absolutely correct. Satan says he must be just. Yes, he's going to judge every man according to their works. Romans 2, verses 6 to 10. Who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and who do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, for the Jew first and also of the Gentiles. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. So God is going to judge us according to what's written in those books, the record of all of our deeds. And it's all in front of the angels. And they see how he is going to deal with all those records. If we remember what we read in Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that we should walk in them. So, God has a book of works, the good and the bad. And that book is going to be examined. The evil record, the evil deeds are recorded there. If we turn Isaiah 65, verses 5 to 7. Isaiah 65, verses 5 to 7. These are the books that deal with the works. 65, 5 to 7, which say, stand by thyself, come not near me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. Behold, it is written before me. I will not keep silence, but will recompense, even recompense into their bosom, your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, saith the Lord, which have burnt incense upon the mountains and blasphemed me upon the hills. Therefore will I measure their former work in their bosom. So it is written before me. All the things that they have been doing, it's there. We turn also to Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. Reading verses 32 to 34. For their vine is of the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall, their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asps. Is not this laid up in store with me and sealed among my treasures? So there is God in his heavenly sanctuary with all the records, including all the evil records among all his treasures. It's all there. It's recorded. And finally, Hosea chapter 7, verse 2 on this book of records, or on these books of records. Hosea chapter 7, verse 2. And they consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their doings have beset them about. They are before my face. So when God opens the books, it's there right in front of his face. He has them recorded there. And now we come to Matthew, the words of Jesus, Matthew 12, 36 and 37. Matthew 12. In the judgment, God has recorded all these things in the books. And when he judges, he will be cleared. Matthew 12, verse 36 and 37. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. It's there in the works, in the book. It's all recorded. Every word, every act. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. Therefore, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. So it's all going to be opened up. The books are opened in the judgment. So as the judgment commenced under the first angel's message, in the heavenly sanctuary, in Daniel chapter 8, verse 14, ever since that time of 1844, when we had seen the sanctuary and all that God does there, in Daniel 8, 14, it says, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. There among God's treasures are the records in those books. And those records of all the works of man have to be cleansed out of his treasuries, because that is all a dirty picture there. We come to Daniel chapter 7, verse 10. And there you have it in another phraseology. Daniel chapter 7, verse 10. That the heavenly sanctuary shall be cleansed, as thousands ministered unto him, and so on. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. All the books were opened to be dealt with, to be cleansed, to be corrected. And here we read of it in Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9, verses 13 and 14. Hebrews 9, 13 and 14. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now, here is the interesting bit. God is going to cleanse the sanctuary. He's going to erase and purify those terrible records in the books. And how was he going to do that? In the examination of God's people who are called upon to give him the glory. As they went through the processes of apprenticeship, they made lots of mistakes. The record of their sins is there. Even though they were born there, all the record of their sins are there too. And as the earthly sanctuary was cleansed and purified by the blood of bulls and etc., and the heifer and the goat, how much more shall the blood of Christ purge the records in our own mind and in the books of heaven? Let's go to verse 23. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of the things in the heavens should be purified with these. That was the animal blood. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Verse 24, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So Jesus has gone there, and in the time of the judgment, he comes to the Ancient of Days, according to Daniel chapter 7 there, and he works to cleanse the sanctuary, to cleanse all that which is written among God's treasures by his precious blood. If we turn to Proverbs 19:11, as we were reading that God has a perfect record of every man's sins, of every man's actions, what can he do through the precious blood of Jesus Christ? Verse 11, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. God's glory is to pass over a transgression. He's recorded it all there, and now he's going to reveal his glory. He can actually pass over a transgression. And if we turn to Isaiah 43:25, Isaiah 43, verse 25. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. So as we realize that God has a perfect record of everybody's sins, as well as a book of registry of births, a book of remembrance, that thing that troubles everybody is that he's got a record of my sins. And he can be just and yet justify the sinner. He's going to demonstrate it. He's got all the books there, and now he applies the blood of Jesus according to how every sinner has related to Jesus Christ. As King David said in Psalms, that I confess and repent for my sins, that I have only sinned against you, that you may be cleared when you judge and when you speak. How is God going to be cleared when he judges and when he speaks? By the fact that the people have taken hold of Jesus Christ and repented of those sins. Therefore, he can be just to remove those sins and cross over, that it is his glory to cross over and bypass the sins that are recorded there. The call is to give God the glory. What does it include? Acts 3, verse 19 to 21. Not only are we to give him the glory by growing up in the precious workmanship that he is creating in us, his righteousness. But he's got the records of my sins of the past there. Therefore, to give him the glory, what must I do? What is included in this time of the books, opening up everything? Acts 3, verse 19 to 21. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So, how must I, what is the call to give him the glory? Because Jesus Christ has been given to us in the work of the atonement to deal with my past sins, to develop a character like his in the apprenticeship, in sanctification. The records of his work for me is to be clearly chronicled, so that when the book is examined about my sins, all beside every one of those sins, the blood of Jesus has been applied. But what must I do for that to happen? Repent, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Considering his work in us, as we study God's perfect and God's permissive will, remember that study, his examination since 1844 is to deal with those things that are born of those people who are born and recorded in the birth register, to deal with those sins so that in the time of the judgment, none of them will be left. And we conclude with that statement in Bible Commentary, Volume 5, and reading there, page 1085. Volume 5, 1085. This is what he does as he examines the books from 1844 onwards. God's law reaches the feelings and motives as well as the outward acts. It reveals the secrets of the heart, flashing light upon things before buried in darkness. God knows every thought, every purpose, every plan, every motive. Why does he know it? And what is written there? The books of heaven record the sins that would have been committed had there been opportunity. God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. By his law, he measures the character of every man. As the artist transfers to the canvas the features of the face, so the features of each individual character are transferred to the books of heaven. God has a perfect photograph of every man's character. And this photograph he compares with his law. Now that's what he's doing now in the sanctuary, in the judgment. What does he do? He reveals to man the defects that mar his life and calls upon him to repent and turn from sin. the Lord requires perfection from his redeemed family. He calls for perfection in character building. So that what is recorded in heaven is my unsavory character. And he asks us to give him the glory by receiving Jesus' atonement and engaging together with him to cleanse every item of my character defect. Because it's written there in the books. He's got the character written there. He's got the picture, the photograph of my character there. And to give him the glory is to have the faulty character to be removed. And we have to do that by responding to the call. Here is your character defect. Repent. Turn from it. And ever since that time, since the judgment has been announced by the first angel, the meaning of give him the glory is to engage with him in cleansing away all my sins out of the books of record. So he gives us not only the revelation that the books are opened, but he says, I want you to clarify everything in your character. So that's where the studies of the past come into focus, that the books of heaven are opened and they need to be thoroughly dealt with, so that before the whole thousands upon thousands of angels who can see it all, they can see also the people who have repented and who have taken hold of the beauty of Christ's righteousness in action, and those things have been removed in front of them. And as they behold God doing this through Jesus Christ, that's why they burst out with worship and praise, because there is a people that they are watching in the books. And God can be just and yet justify them by the beautiful action of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As I study this, as I make this my research and share it with others, it keeps on revealing to me the little things that I still have to put away and the sins that I'm doing. And I must not forget that this is what's going on. I must be consciously involved. And as I am, as I wake up to what I've done, I must repent. I must turn away from that so that the Lord can clear the slate. This is our privilege, to give him the glory. Amen.